Blog Talk Radio.
Let's face it, the outcome of your future can't completely be left to luck or seat-of-the-pants actions. And even with the realities of life that you cannot control, you still need to develop a discipline for planning for your future. Today's show is designed to help you do just that. Plan a successful 2016 regardless of where you have been or where you currently find yourself in life. The new year provides a blank slate for your career path, your business prospects, your health, your finances, and your personal walk of life. Let's determine how you can develop a five-step plan of action that will give you the confidence and the courage to move forward in 2016 with enthusiasm mixed with a healthy dose of pragmatism. Hello, this is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Thanks so much for listening. Had a little bit of a delay getting that music going, our theme song music, but we're off and running, and I thank you so much for listening today. Now, I know this is a very, very busy time of year if you're listening live or if you're listening shortly after the broadcast. People are out and about. I'm actually here in Boston at a location, and the parking lot where I am is filled to capacity. There's lots of shopping going on, and that's just the order of the day. But if you're not careful, you're going to blink and look up, and it's going to be 2016, and you're going to say, oh, my goodness, I should have done X, Y, Z. So the X, Y, Z is what we're going to talk about today, how you can appropriately and properly really put a game plan in place so that regardless of the craziness, wherever you happen to be right now in the world and how busy people are, and busy is certainly our middle name nowadays, that you will have a proper outlook on your prospects, regardless of what happens or what doesn't happen. It's the whole plan of action that we want to really talk about, these five planning steps for 2016. And before we do this, I want to enthusiastically encourage you to go to either one of my websites. That's either tellcarol.com, TellCarole, or to MSSConnect.com, and you can click through and find out about our upcoming March 3rd Black History Breakfast. Now, you're saying, why is it in March? Well, it's in March because the severity of our weather in February really pushed us to make a decision to have this event in early March to hopefully get through any bad weather cycles that we have. And so that's the reason why we've done that. But we have an all-star lineup, literally. It is going to all be about focusing on African Americans in the military, past and present, and we are going to do our level best to honor some of the respected persons who live in the greater Boston area or who represent this era in terms of military excellence and leadership. We're going to honor some people who are active military and those who have been in the military in the past. And also, we're going to pay tribute to those who are still living who represent the Tuskegee Airmen. The Tuskegee Airmen were in on battlefields and in leadership roles during World War II, and many of those gentlemen are still living, including six or seven of them here in the greater Boston area. So we are going to be paying tribute to them. Our guest speaker is going to be Ernest Washington Jr. He is a Vietnam veteran, Purple Heart recipient, an entrepreneur, and also the co-founder of Concerned Black Men of Massachusetts. He's going to develop and deliver a dynamic message that's going to be pertinent to all. So it's going to be probably our most ambitious breakfast ever. I'm expecting a sellout crowd, so we encourage you to go review all the information, see those who we're going to be awarding, and get your tickets now because it is going to sell out. So all of that can can be taken care of at our two websites at mssconnect.com and also tellcarole.com. Go right to the home page, click through, and you can get the information from there. That's advanced planning, and we're putting it out there now because we know how busy 2016 is going to be for a lot of people. So let's jump right into this five-step plan that will really help you throughout the new year. Step number one is to learn from your past mistakes and don't let them lead you. This is what happens around this time of year for many of us. You say, oh my gosh, I had so much that happened to me in 2015 or 2014 or whatever the year happens to be. I just want this year to end so I can move on and start all over again. And what happens is you subconsciously take all of that baggage with you into the new year. Now, my plan is for you to leave as much of the baggage of 2015 in 2015 and putting yourself in a mindset so that you are not focusing on the mistakes. You learn from your mistakes. Now, all of us make mistakes. All of us do. I'm at the top of the pile in terms of making mistakes. It's just the human condition that we have. The point is that once you have learned from your mistakes, you've made them, defied them, you found solutions for them, you don't drag them into 2016. It's just part of what happened before, and you try as best as possible not to include them in your New Year's activity pool, should I say. You learn, you take the good, you take the bad. You may have some cleaning up to do for next year. You may have to continue to work on the healing process or heal yourself or help to rebuild relationships that have been scarred by past mistakes or whatever. But you just don't, just from a wholesale perspective, take all those mistakes and problems and challenges into the new year. Now, clearly, if you've got some health issues, I'm type 2 diabetes now, as many of you know, and that's a reality of my 2015. That's a new experience for me. There are things that I've had to do to put in place so that I can minimize the damage of type 2 diabetes. Now, one of those things is that, fortunately, I lost a fair amount of weight rather quickly and have changed my diet for the most part, so that I don't have to take any medication at this point. And that was my doctor's suggestions and recommendations. I am taking his recommendations very seriously. And so my eating habits and sluggishness of the past is something that I have to be very mindful of as I'm going into 2016. If I'm going to stay off medication for 2016, then I know what I have to do now going into 2016 to make that a reality for the remainder of the year and hopefully the remainder of my life. So, and there are some people, we talked about this last week, and I encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast now that we have for last week's program and the first podcast that we have with an overview of, as you are planning for 2016, those two may give you a sense of where you are. So clearly there's some individuals who are facing some very significant issues, whether it's finances or healthcare or whatever, so you have to govern yourselves accordingly. But even in those instances, there are things that you can do to prepare for the days ahead. And so that's what I'm asking you to do. So number one is to minimize the mistakes. They are a reality. You can write them off. You're at the end of the year. Just don't let them lead and be the lead issue in your 2016 game plan. That's the whole point. Number two is to look 2016 from the point of view of 12 units. Now, units, I'm talking about the months. So you have 12 months in one year that you literally can break apart and figure out what are the cycles that are important in your life. Now, if you're doing this for your job, perhaps there are busier times during the first half or the first quarter of the year than the latter part. Or if you are an accountant, then you know February, March, and April are going to be very busy times for you because of tax filings and the work that you have that will come in. Just like retailers now are in the busiest time of their season, but their planning process will begin in January and February as they decide what kind of merchandise they're going to order for the selling cycle for 2016, the retail year that is at hand for them. So it's looking at the high points, the significant high points in your life. It's looking at the very busy times of your life. If you are in business like I am, then typically, from my perspective, summer months can sort of lag behind because people are on vacation. And so many decisions can't be made in the summer months. So I have to front load and look at my situation during the early part of the year in anticipation for the summer months. And then the last part of the year comes very quickly, and there are lots of activities. So these 12 months build on each other. They link to each other, but they need to be looked at so that you can look at your own patterns, your habits, and determine what needs to be done when. What is the significance of a very important activity maybe in January, February, and March as you are looking at projects or vacations that you're taking for either March or either April, May, June, or sometime in the summer. And the same thing is true for the fall months. So often we get so busy in vacation mode for the summer, or we slow down the pace in the summer, and then before you know it, you look up and September's here, and then October, and then it's the end of the year. So look at the busy time points, look at the time points that are slow, look at the time points that you may sort of overlook, and see how each one of these 12 units or 12 months can build on each, give you a stronger platform or stronger game plan because you've realistically dissected this year into these 12 units before moving on. Number three, and I should also say that at tellcarol.com, this list, this whole five-point list is at the blog section. So this blog is at that website, tellcarol.com. You can listen to this again, and the actual list is there as well for today's program. Number three is to front load the first quarter or the first half of your 2016 year. Now, this is, again, especially true for people who are in business or people who have jobs where you're in leadership roles. And it's also important for people who are fundraisers. So often, the first half of the year, January, February, and March, for a lot of businesses, that's when their fiscal year begins. And much of that planning could have actually started back in October, September or October. So if you are fundraising and you want to raise a certain amount of money, then you need to know what is the fiscal year cycle of your prospective clients and when should your discussion process begin with them. Now, perhaps it began in October or so, and then you're packaging everything and you're beginning the whole ask process in January and February, or maybe it needs to be done earlier. But front-loading and doing this advanced planning so that when the time comes for you to ask for a raise or ask for a significant donation or ask teams, you're doing it where advanced planning or front-loading has already been a priority for you. Now, the same thing is true if you are, again, a business owner or you have a practice of some kind of medical practice or you have a consultancy or whatever. And let's say the summer months tend to be slower for you because people are on vacation. So then what do you need to do? How do you need to double up on your efforts between January and April so that when summer comes, spring comes, and people are looking elsewhere and things are beginning to slow down, you already have done your homework and you have your action plans in place, and you don't run into people saying, oh, I wish you had contacted me back in February, because now our budget is tight, we don't have any more money, and you'll have to come back to me next February. So again, taking notes, doing the proper follow-up, knowing how fiscal cycles are with people, and this is, again, in the case of individuals who are entrepreneurs, or if you have leadership roles where you are in a fund development mode, should I say, then you can anticipate the slowdowns that will happen in cycles of activity beforehand, and you're front-loading that activity up front. Now, number four is critically important. Number four and five are critically important. Number four is to fortify your relationships. Fortify your relationships. What does that mean? That means that at all instances, you need to be confirming, affirming, reaffirming the relationships you have in place within your career path, within people within your organization, and certainly from a business point of view, getting new business through new relationships. Now, even if you are in a company and you've been in the company for a long time, I would say that this 2016 is going to be a very good year for you to really branch out and develop some new partnerships and new relationships within an organization. Now, why do I say that? I say that because the number of baby boomers who are retiring will increase significantly over the next 10 years. Over this length of time, there are a lot of us who are in our late 50s, early 60s, mid-60s who are retiring. I have a number of friends where that is taking place. And so that means that you want to do your part in building strong relationships so that there are people within your organization who can continue to support you and advocate for you, given that they're going to be key decision makers who are going to move on, transition, et cetera. Or unfortunately, maybe there are some layoffs going on in your organization and those people who you counted on or depended on are no longer in their roles and responsibilities. Now, this, is happening everywhere. And this is where everybody, whether you are an entrepreneur, a leader in an organization, a small business leader, a nonprofit person, a community, an advocate, there are people within these decision-making roles who are retiring, who are moving on, and you need to plan accordingly. Take your head out the sand and realize, if I was dealing with one person and that person is getting ready to retire, how can I fortify and reaffirm the significance of my company, my organization, my presence with either the people around this person who is retiring or transitioning on, or get myself ready for newer people who are going to be in place? Now, one of the biggest things that I think older people or older leaders, older entrepreneurs need to do, and I've talked about this a number of times, is to build relationships with younger people, even people your kids' age, because the roles that they have now, they will move up over the next 10 years, and they may be that decision maker who will make or break your career path, make or break the contract that you get, or whatever it is in terms of your ambition in life and the opportunities that you're pursuing in life. So now is the time to build relationships. Now, this is where number two comes into mind. I was talking about those 12 units. Perhaps each month you can decide how many new relationships am I going to begin. Now, relationships are just that. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. So how can you foster a sense of meeting maybe two or three new people each month that you can put forth in your personal portfolio? a case in point in business because of the work that I do and the sponsors that I need to run the breakfast and the conference and the speaking engagements that I have, the consultancies that I do, and I've started a number of new relationships in 2015. It's me probably looking at 50 touch points a month, 50 new touch points a month. And some of them will ultimately become new relationships or new clients or new friendships or whatever. Not all of them, but some. But I have to have the capacity to spread myself out so that I can really have an impact or make an impression on 50 new people every month to keep things going. Now, when you look at very successful people, when you look at very successful companies, that's exactly what they do. That's why companies that are rich in cash and have done very well, so they advertise, they continue to advertise, because they have to always generate new clients and new activities every single month. So number two and number four are very significantly intertwined in terms of the 12 units and looking at them and building on them, and that really drops down into fortifying new relationships. And especially if you're talking about people who are retiring and moving on, you need to have your game plan in place so that the new boss or the new person will be an ally for your cause and not an adversary where you'll be the next person out the door. So building these relationships and fortifying them, very, 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 very important. And number five is as important as number four, and that's developing a routine or repeated pattern for fortifying your 26 game plan. Now, if you're looking at my website or you received a notice about this particular radio program, you're going to see me sitting at my dining room table. It's literally my table, and I have my 2016 calendar in place, and I'm actually writing. So it's a prop picture, but it literally is my table, and it's material that I'm using. And I did that because I do a lot of planning at that table. I have an office in my home upstairs, but I like to sit at my table because it's away from all the paperwork and all the other things, and I can focus and concentrate more at that table. And there's a lot of light there. So the light, it's stimulating, and it gives me a sense of getting my productivity up. So you need to figure out where in your office, where in your home, where you need to go repeatedly to generate the amount of work that needs to be done. Now, I'm a big believer also in going to Panera's. I go there a lot, and Panera's are all over the United States, and they're probably elsewhere beyond the U.S. as well. But I go there because I can get a cup of coffee and get some soup or a sandwich, and I can sit there as long as I want, and I can plug away at the work. I literally did that this past weekend when I had to get everything up and running for the breakfast. I went to Panera's at 3 o'clock. I didn't leave until 10 o'clock. Now, that was a long stretch of time, and I ate in between, but I cranked out a lot of work. You have to develop your level of discipline in order for you to move forward. Now, this is my routine. Your routine may be completely different, but I have highs and lows. But because I have benchmarks and timelines and I'm looking at slowdown periods, clearly the week of between Christmas and New Year's will be a slower time for a lot of business people, so I have to get calls in between now and probably next Wednesday before Christmas Eve. So there are things that had to be put in place. The breakfast had to be kicked up and off and running. We finished all of our activities with the conference, very successfully so, and all the thank yous have been generated, et cetera, the pictures you can see online. And so all that was done. So now it was time to turn my attention to the breakfast, along with some other projects that I'm working on too. So you have to figure out what your pattern of discipline is going to be so that you can achieve your success. It's one thing to talk. A lot of people do a whole lot of talking. I've been around long enough to realize that, you know, talk is cheap. It's how to plan into a plan of action. That's the key point. How can you do that? Significantly move and advance your program forward. Well, it takes a lot of discipline. Maybe you want to write a book, and maybe you know that in order for you to write your book, there's got to be something, some kind of activity that you do consistently every week or every other day or every day in order for you to get that book written. Books just don't write themselves. You have to write books. So the discipline, this is the hardest thing. This is the thing that is a deal breaker for people who set New Year's resolutions. And then finally they realize, wow, this is going to be a lot of work. Well, yeah, it's going to be a lot of work, and you're the one who's going to have to do it. So how can you develop a routine, this discipline, so that you can get the work done, you can put all of the game plan pieces in place so that you can advance your program and move it forward? There are things that I have to do from a marketing point of view every week. I know I have to do it, and sometimes I get very busy and I'm not able to do it, so it means I have to double up and do more the next week. So you know whatever your routine happens to be. You have to figure that out. But if you don't fortify yourself in terms of this repeated pattern of activities, of figuring out how can you meet two or three new people, how can you build relationships every single month. That's the bread and butter, the meat and potatoes of how you advance your game plan. It's the only way you can get it done. And for 2016, it's the only way that you're really going to be able to move things forward. So take a breath and say that again. Let me repeat this 5-step plan, because this can really work for you. Number one is to learn from your past mistakes and don't drag them in to 2016. Don't let them lead you. Just leave them here, learn from them, and move on as much as possible. Number two is to look at 2016 as 12 separate units and then build each one linked to each other. That's number two. Number three is to front load the first quarter or the first half of 2016, looking at the cycles, whether you have slow periods, whether you have vacations that can impede you moving your project or advancing your activities going forward. How can you do a lot of advanced work, get things out of the way so that you anticipate the activities when they slow down or when they accelerate? Number four is how can you fortify relationships? What can you do to fortify relationships and build new relationships monthly? And number five is to develop a routine or repeated pattern to fortify your 2016 game plan. So what can you do where you are getting the work done consistently because of the work that and the discipline that you are creating for yourself? So those are the 5 steps, and I would encourage you to go back and listen to the previous 2 radio programs that build up to this, and then we will next week just talk about the holiday season per se, but the last week, which is New Year's Eve, we will talk about 2016 itself and how we can really triumphantly move into 2016. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you moving forward with your game plan for 2016 as I move forward, as your businesses and your opportunities move forward as well. Happy shopping. Don't overspend, and we will see you and talk to you next week.